From NPR News, this is Weekend Edition. I'm Leanne Hansen. It's been quite a ride for Sluggy Freelance. The webcomic turned 10 years old this weekend, and the main characters are still stumbling through one bizarre episode after another. The strip has grown in its first decade, and so has its audience. Sluggy Freelance started as a simple one-gag-a-day affair. Today, the jokes remain, but the stories are longer and more thought-provoking, and Sluggy Freelance now claims 100,000 daily readers. We spoke with creator Pete Abrams after the strip had been going for about a year, and we've invited him back on the 10th anniversary. He's in our New York bureau. Congratulations, Pete. Welcome back.
Thanks a lot. It's great to be here.
Let me refresh our listeners on the main characters in your webcomic, Sluggy Freelance. There's Torg, who's kind of an everyman and a former web designer. There's Riff, who's the inventor with a fondness for explosives. Zoe, who's the closest to normal of the whole bunch. Gwyn, who likes to dabble in witchcraft. And then finally, the two talking animals, Bun Bun, a very mean mini-lop rabbit who carries a switchblade, and Kiki, a sweet-natured ferret. So, Pete, when you started the strip in 1997, did you expect to be still writing about those particular characters 10 years later?
When I first started doing the strip, I knew I wanted to keep kind of my options open to how I wanted the story to go. And for some reason, I kind of thought to myself that as the strip progressed, I would like start writing characters out and bringing new ones in so that the strip would always kind of stay fresh to me. And that was probably in the first year or so, somewhere around there. And, you know, a couple of years into it, I started really liking all the characters so much that it became hard for me to move away from any of them. And 10 years later, I still love writing these characters so much.
Hmm. How has the strip evolved, especially the story arcs?
Well, as you had said, it started off pretty much a gag-a-day strip. I did start, you know, building in some stories a little longer than the daily stuff, a few weeks or a month-long story arc, which, you know, I could do as an online comic strip as opposed to a newspaper strip. Because I can maintain an archive, it means everybody who goes and checks out Sluggy can read it from the very first strip all the way through. As time progressed, I found myself just wanting to write more and more involved stories. And at the same time, the characters were developing more and more complex. They were very simple at the beginning. But now, you know, everyone started to really get to know the characters.
So you're doing, you know, dramatic stories. Do you actually write ones that would take months to tell?
Yeah. One of the big problems I've ran into recently is the fact that my stories have gotten so big that a simple thought in my head that I think will take a few days to tell ends up taking weeks. So some of the stories are expanding to go through actual months to finish telling an entire arc.
Hmm. Do you get frustrated with that? I mean, there are limits to what you can do in a daily strip.
Yeah, sometimes. Sluggy's all about maintaining balance. One of the things I wanted to do with it is I wanted it to be something that was entertaining for people who come by every day because there's a new strip every day. And at the same time, I wanted the archives to hold up so when you'd read through it, it was like, wow, this is one big story that's really well told. And what's happened is I've found that the stories have gotten so big that the stories are still fantastic, but each day I felt like I wasn't getting enough information out there. So the strips have been getting bigger and bigger and bigger as time goes on. I've had strips that are like 20 panels every day for like a week on end. It's just been like a lot of extra work on my end. But I figure, hey, I'm the one who wanted to write the story, so it's, you know, It's my job.
I was wondering, I mean, over the years, how hard it's been to sustain a web comic. I mean, you tried advertising, didn't really work. You sell the T-shirts and the books and a couple of plush toys. Is that enough to sustain you?
Yeah, actually, one problem I have of doing this solo is I've got to handle all the business stuff as well as all the comic stuff, and I seem to be much, much better at the comic stuff. I have a friend of mine who runs a store, and just from selling the plush dolls and the books and the shirts, and we have a program called Defenders where people actually pay to get access to extra features on the site, like behind-the-scenes information and comics I rejected and scripts that weren't so good. And basically all this together makes me enough money to survive and take care of my family, and it makes me very happy.
Do you think you're a pioneer of sorts with this web comic? And if so, do you think web comics are the wave of the future?
In 1997, I decided I wanted to do something creative on the web, and I had been schooled, actually, in comic book art at the Joe Kubert School in Dover, New Jersey. And I thought it'd be really great to do a comic book online, but it would take too much work to do a comic book page every day, and I figured that was about the internet attention span, especially at the time. So that's when I said, let me try a comic strip format. And I looked out there, and I couldn't really find that much. I found like one or two strips that had barely begun. So in that sense, I was kind of a pioneer because I figured out how I would handle the layouts and just to tell longer story arcs. I also think I was, at least according to Wikipedia, I'm the first one to make a living at doing a comic. So that makes me kind of a pioneer, too.
But do you think this is the future, that we're going to see more and more web comics?
Oh, there's so many web comics out there now. I mean, there's plenty right at the moment. I can't help but think it's definitely a valid form of entertainment, and I think it goes well beyond what newspaper comic strips could offer, and even probably beyond what comic books can offer, just because of that idea of daily content and a constantly expanding archive.
I'm going to ask you a question I asked you 9 years ago, and you couldn't give me an answer, and I'm wondering if you can give me an answer now. Where does the name Sluggy Freelance come from?
I don't know. I'm sorry. There was a little static on the line. I couldn't quite hear you.
Where does the name Sluggy Freelance come
from? I'm sorry. This line's really bad. Hold on. Let me switch phones. Okay. All right. You know what? I've kept this up long enough where I haven't told anyone what the name means. I think on this show I'll finally reveal it. My great-grandmother on my father's side was named Sluggy Freelance.
Thanks for that, Pete. Pete Abrams is the creator of the webcomic Sluggy Freelance, which celebrated its 10th anniversary this weekend. He spoke to us from our New York Bureau. Congratulations again, Pete, and thanks.
Thanks. It's been great talking to you again. We should do this again in another 10 years.
You're on.
Okay.
You can read the very first Sluggy Freelance strip at our website, npr.org.